We are in our third week on this study on the gifts of the Spirit, and we've already laid a foundation. In our first teaching of the series, we looked at the gifts of the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom, how God supernaturally gives insight and understanding that goes beyond our own natural thinking, often to strengthen, direct, and warn the body of Christ. Last week, we explored the gifts of the discernment of spirits and the interpretation of dreams and visions, seeing how God enables believers to distinguish between what is from him, what's from the enemy, and what's from our flesh, and how he still speaks through our dreams and visions. Amen? Now, today, we're going to focus on spiritual gifts of innovation, problem-solving, and faith. Amen? Now, let's begin by understanding what we mean by innovation. It's the introduction of something new, whether an idea, a method, or solution. It brings improvement or a fresh perspective. Biblically speaking, it's the God-given ability to introduce something new that reflects God's purpose. Now, God, our creator, brought the universe into existence, and he created the world by his speech. His hands touched the earth, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust and the ground in his image. God is not only a creator, but also an innovator. In fact, he is our ultimate innovator. From the very beginning, God gave gifts with purpose. In Genesis, God brought every animal to Adam to see what he would name them. And whatever Adam called each one, that became its name. You can find that in Genesis 2, 19 and 20. That wasn't just a task. It was a God-given ability. Adam was gifted with wisdom and authority to carry out a part of God's plan. In the same way, God gives each of us spiritual gifts, not randomly, but intentionally. Just like Adam's role mattered in creation, our gifts matter in the body of Christ. They're given so we can serve, lead, create, and build up others for God's glory. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to read to you Exodus 35, 30 through 35. This is to me, is so fantastic. I love this scripture here. Then Moses said to the people of Israel, "Look, the Lord has chosen Bezalel. He is the son of Uri, the son of Hur, from the tribe of Judah. The Lord has filled Bezalel with the Spirit of God. The Lord has given Bezalel the skill, ability, and knowledge to do all kinds of work. He is able to design pieces to be made of gold, silver, and bronze. He is able to cut stones and jewels and put them into metal. Bezalel can carve wood and do all kinds of work. The Lord has given Bezalel and Aholiab the ability to teach others. Aholiab is the son of Ahishamah from the tribe of Dan. The Lord has given them the skill to do all kinds of work. They are able to cut designs in metal and stone. They can plan and sew designs in the finest linens with blue, purple, and red threads, and they are also able to weave things." Now, here we see in these verses describing the divine appointment of Bezalel and Aholiab as skilled artisans for building God's tabernacle. They highlight how God's Spirit will empower individuals with specific talents and abilities for his service, emphasizing that God's gifts are not just for individual benefit, but for the advancement of his purposes and the benefit of our community. Bezalel and Aholiab are chosen not only for their individual skills, but they also have the ability to teach and lead others in the construction of the tabernacle. God had equipped them to lead others in accomplishing the task at hand. As anyone who's had to lead a team project, you can attest that it's always challenging sometimes to get everyone on the same page, amen? So when it came to building the place where God himself would dwell, through God's provision, The leaders utilize wise delegation to carry out their responsibility efficiently. Amen. Exodus 35, 31 through 35 highlights the divine empowerment of Bezalel and Aholiab to innovate and resolve any issues in the creation of the tabernacle. God infused them with the spirit, wisdom, understanding, and knowledge and skill to design and execute their assignment. Intricate designs in gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, and various textiles. And more importantly, they obediently taught others to do the same. This passage also emphasizes that God provides the inspiration and ability for innovative problem solving, even when it takes creativity and special skills. Amen? Now, how will this apply to us today? I'm going to tell you. God equips his people. Just as God filled Bezalel and Aholiab with the Holy Spirit to build the temple, he empowers his people today with spiritual gifts and abilities to serve him and his kingdom. These gifts are not meant to be hidden, but to be used for the glory of God and the building up of the church, which in turn expands the church's ability to reach out to the community and serve those in need. Yes. Amen. Having a willing heart and generosity. Now, the Israelites willingly offered their materials and talents for the tabernacle, demonstrating their gratitude and love for God. Similarly, the church should respond to God's generosity with a willing heart and in giving of their talents and resources. Serving others with our gifts showcases the love and compassion of Christ, attracting individuals to the church and the Christian faith. Amen?
Amen.
Diversity of gifts. The tabernacle required a variety of skilled craftsmen, and the church today also benefits from the diversity of gifts and abilities within its membership. Each person has a unique role to play in building up the body of Christ. We all do, each and every one of us. Ministry and service. In the body of Christ, every gift has a place, and every age has a purpose. Everybody's called to serve. Nobody's exempt. Amen?
Amen.
Following God's will. The Israelites' obedience in building the tabernacle demonstrates the importance of following God's instructions and seeking his will in all aspects of their lives. Similarly, the church should strive to discern and obey God's will in order to fulfill his purpose. Seeking God's kingdom. The Israelites didn't delay in building what God honored. In the same way, the church must pursue his kingdom first, having the assurance that God will take care of everything else. Amen. In Exodus 35, we see something God fully intended. The skills he gave those two men were not just for building, they were for worship. The work served a greater purpose, to create a place where God's presence would dwell among his people. In the same way, our gifts are not just about ability. They're about advancing God's mission. Whatever gifts we have been given, they are meant to glorify God and bless others. God still stirs hearts, and he fills people with skill and calls them to serve his purpose, whether it's teaching, serving, encouraging, giving, creating. His purpose always comes with provision. God doesn't just give the plan, he gives the power. We're just the vessels he chooses to work with. Amen?
Amen.
Here are some key truths about the gifts God gives us. Like I said before, he doesn't call us by accident. He selects people purposely to carry out their plan. God empowers us through his spirit. Natural gifts may begin the work, but it is the anointing of God that brings it to completion. Amen?
Amen.
God equips his people, with everything needed to complete their assignment with excellence. God equips people to teach others. Spiritual gifts aren't about personal gain or personal success. They're about investing in others so the whole body of Christ can grow. God's gifts are diverse and creative. The Spirit-given gifts are practical, artistic, and varied. God values craftsmanship and creativity in his work. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about the spiritual gifts, and I would like to reference 1 Corinthians 12 and 9. And the Amplified Version says, to another, wonder-working faith is given by the same Holy Spirit, and to another, the extraordinary gifts of healing by the one Spirit. There is faith. We are going to concentrate on faith right now. There is faith, and then there is the gift of faith. Hebrews 11, 1 and 6, it says, faith is the assurance of things you have hoped for, the absolute conviction that there are realities you've never seen. It was by faith that our forefathers were approved. Through faith, we understand that the universe was created by the word of God. Everything we now see was fashioned from that which is invisible. By faith, Abel presented to God a sacrifice more acceptable than his brother Cain. By faith, Abel learned he was righteous as God himself testified by approving his offering. And by faith, he still speaks, although his voice was silenced by death. By faith, Enoch was carried up into heaven so that he did not see death. No one could find him because God had taken him. Before he was taken up, it was said of him that he had pleased God. Without faith, no one can please God because the one coming to God must believe he exists and he rewards those who come seeking. Now, I read all those, but I am going to concentrate on 11 and 1. Okay? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Now, the Bible states that God has given each one of us a measure of faith. Amen? However, some have a special gift that gives them the capacity to have an extraordinary, unwavering confidence in God, regardless of how overwhelming their circumstances are. Pastor Donna, she was like that to me. Her faith was just, to me, unwavering. And I used to say, Lord, I wish I could have the faith that she had. But that was, God gifted her with that. I'm getting better. I'm not there yet, but I'm almost there. I'm just, you know, I'm still a work in progress. But you've got people that no matter what, but I keep telling myself, I keep confessing to myself that, look, no matter what, God, I'm just going to trust you. I'm just going to believe you no matter what it looks like. And I know that day is going to finally come when I'm like, you know what, I don't care. Whatever, God, whatever you say, that's what it's going to be. I'm not going to waver. I'm just going to trust you. Okay? The gift of faith, which comes from the Holy Spirit, enables individuals to believe in God's promises even when it seems impossible. Those who have the gift of faith have the assurance that something they believe to be in God's plan will definitely happen. This gift can also involve the ability to discern God's will and purpose in specific situations. This kind of faith does not produce the work of God, but rather sets the climate in which God chooses to work. Now, I want you to go, let me do this first, and then we're going to go somewhere, and I'll tell you that. Well, we saw in Abraham's strong faith. To me, that was kind of unwavering. He trusted God's promise, even when obedience demanded the unthinkable. He was taking his son. And I mean, he's going to sacrifice his son like God asked. His willingness to offer Isaac as a sacrifice revealed a strong and willing death of faith. Likewise, Noah, he demonstrated his faith in God by trusting in God's word, acting in obedience to his commands by building the ark. This involved trusting God even when the evidence seemed contrary to his own senses and understanding. It took him about 75 years to get it all done. Can you imagine the ridicule? He didn't care. He didn't care about that. He wanted to live a life of faith and obedience to God. Now, as I was reading, I don't know, this just came to my mind. As I was reading, and did you know what, Lord? It was somebody else that had faith. And this is what I'm going to do. Strong faith. And this is kind of out of the ordinary. And I just want you to go back with me, because I know y'all remember. You remember the Roman centurion who asked Jesus to heal his servant?
Yeah.
That was remarkable faith to me. Now, I'm going to read this, and we're going to Matthew 8, 5 and 13. It says, Jesus went to the city of Capernaum. When he entered the city, an army officer came to Jesus and begged for help. The officer said, Lord, my servant is at home in bed. He can't move his body, and he is in so much pain. Jesus said to the officer, I will go and heal him. The officer answered, Lord, I'm not good enough for you to come into my house. But all you need to do is command that my servant be healed, and he will be healed. I myself am a man under the authority of other men, and I have soldiers under my command. I tell one soldier, go, and he goes. I tell another soldier, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and my servant obeys me. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He said to those who were with him, I tell you the truth. This man has more faith than any other person I have found, even in Israel. How about that? Now, and I was amazed. I said, what amazes me about this Roman soldier was that he wasn't a follower of Jesus. He wasn't a Christian from what I, you know, he didn't. But his faith is a great example of his trust in God's power and the ability, even from a distance. Because when he said, Lord, you ain't even got to go there. Your word, you just got to speak it. And it's done. That's faith. Despite his own position of authority, he recognizes his own unworthiness, and he approaches Jesus with humility and reverence. He knew that Jesus had the authority to just speak the word, and his servant would be healed. He doesn't just believe, but he acts on the belief. He takes the initiative to seek Jesus out for help. Jesus marveled at his great faith because he demonstrated trust in Jesus' power and ability to act from where, right from where he was. And Jesus said he hadn't experienced faith like that, not even from his own people in Israel. The healing of the centurion's servant reveals the transforming power of faith and the limitless compassion of God. It challenges us to walk in humility and to be open to God, working through unexpected people and places. While the centurion may not have possessed the gift of faith like that of a believer, his faith was extraordinary and was an extraordinary example of trust in Jesus' authority. His story shows that sincere faith, even apart from formal religion, can touch the heart of God and lead to miraculous outcomes. The New Testament doesn't tell us anything more about the Roman centurion after Jesus healed his servant. Still, that moment marked a powerful invitation of salvation for all. Amen. Faith isn't just about believing for miracles. It's about trusting God enough to act when he calls you to do something that is completely unfamiliar to you. The gifts and abilities God has given us are often preparation for something greater he's calling us to. These abilities play a specific role in the building up of God's kingdom. Sometimes we get so comfortable where we are, but God wants us to stretch out beyond our comfort zone. We are called to be effective witnesses for our family and our community.
All right.
Just as God created all things, he has also created us with the capacity for creativity so that we can bless the church, one another, and those who are outside looking to come in. Proverbs 16:3 says, "Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and he will establish your plans." Let's say you feel a stirring in your heart. Maybe you've got an idea that you just can't hold on to, a dream, or a call to do something new. Take time and bring it to the Lord in prayer. Even when the path feels uncertain, God provides people who will walk with you and help you stay on course for his purpose. So guess what? If you're wondering where to begin, reach out. Reach out to us. We're here for you. Our leadership team, we're here to help. And if needed, guess what? We'll do our best to connect you with someone who can walk with you, support you, pray with you, and take steps with you. God never gives gifts without a purpose. They're meant to bless the people around us and draw others closer to him. If you're not quite sure yet what gifts God has placed in you, that's okay. Keep seeking him and remain faithful while you wait.
All right.
Trusting that he will reveal it in his time. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father God, we thank you for your word, Lord God. Lord God, you have given each and every one of us gifts that we can bring, Lord God, to help serve you and help serve each other. Whatever gifts they are, Lord God, we want you to bring them to the forefront for us so that we can work on the uplifting and the upbuilding of your kingdom. This is nothing that we have to do by force, Lord God. This is something that, first of all, you put in us, and it just has to come out. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for each other. We thank you for one another, that we're not alone in this. We're not alone in this journey. We're not alone. We have each other. We need each other, Lord God.
Yes.
We're all a part of your family, and we need one another. Let each and every individual know how important each one of us is, Lord God. There are no little you's and big I's. We're all in this together. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we're getting deeper, deeper understanding of just what your gifts are and how they're to be. We thank you and we give you praise. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen.